Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg, right here in my living room at the Wright Medical Center at Houston, Texas, the most, I think, awesome city in the world. And you can tell behind me, the sun is already starting to get into those fall days because the sunset is already down. It went down about 7:25, something like that, Central Time, about a half hour ago. And here shortly, it's going to be even darker, quicker, because we're getting ready to fall back. But welcome to the program tonight. We're just going to have a great, great show. I'm really looking forward to this and want to let you know how you can get involved. And this is one of those programs that I really believe that we're going to get some wisdom from somebody that has been in the driver's seat of what she's going to be talking about. She's experienced it. Now she's written about it. And she's been there, done that type situation. I way prefer that than having somebody come on that has 18 years of college and all they know is textbook and they have never experienced what they're talking about personally. That's not what we're doing tonight. We have somebody that's going to have skin on it, and you're going to be surprised, shocked, and pleased with the person that we have tonight, a great author. So it's going to be a good program. Several ways to get involved. First, you can get right on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. It is up and running. I'm looking over there at it right now. It is live. You can also comment there, question there, and periodically we will look on that. During the commercial break, I will see if there's anybody that's commented or has a question. You can also, if you want to, text my cell phone. That's right here, 832-396-6525. And I will be checking this if you have a question. But the best way, let's just have fun tonight. The best way is to call Thomas down at the BBS radio station at 888-627-6008. Let me say that one more time, a little bit slower. 888-627-6008. Even if you just have a comment, even if you're a friend of our guest tonight and you just want to encourage her and applaud her and pat her on the back, whatever it is, get involved. It's always more fun to jump in and instead of just watching other people swim, won't you jump in the water with us? And there's going to be a water reference here in a minute with the title of the book. So we might as well start talking about water now. Been a long week. I don't know. I hope you've all had a good week. Here we are experiencing the first Sunday in October. Believe it or not, we're winding down towards Thanksgiving, towards Christmas. And I don't know about you, but towards anxiety. Everything's going to start getting geared up. Everything's going to start being ramped up. Everything's going to start getting more of a hustle and bustle, and you got to get there, you got to buy that, you got to order that. If you don't order that, you're going to be out of it. You know, all of those things. And I was sitting there thinking just a few minutes ago as I was finishing up my next book that's going to be coming out now, I think, in about a week and a half, Embracing Your Scars, How to Turn Life's Problems into Life's Power and Purpose. And that's exactly what our author and our guest is doing tonight. And she's done a great job with it. But as I was sitting there, I was thinking, I wonder what I would need to hear if I was a senior in high school And I had an old man like me sitting in front of them at 61 years old. One of my favorite TV shows is Leave It to Beaver. And Beaver always went down when he had a problem. You know where he went to? He went to the fire station. And the only reason he went to the fire station was to talk to Gus. Gus knew all the answers to everything. And I wonder, what advice would you give in your latter years to the teenagers of today that maybe not just normal advice, oh, save your money, work hard, sling sweat, be honest, something more, a little more substantial than that, although that's all good wisdom. So I wrote down several of these things. And feel free to write them down or just wait until the guest comes on if you want to, whatever makes you happy. I think one of the things I wish I had learned early in life was loving someone, having the knowledge that when you love someone, it doesn't mean you have to lose who you are in that process. True love empowers you. True love does not erase you. True love doesn't expect you to change so they would still love you and love you more. I think you need to be strong enough to stand alone, be yourself, be able to stand apart, stand out, but be wise enough to share your love and stand together when that time comes. But don't change who you are and who you've been designed and wired to be just so someone would love you. True love doesn't change who you are. Another thing, getting even doesn't always help you get ahead. And I think a lot of times we think getting even is the right thing to do all the time. And I think we need to get past that. It doesn't always produce success like you think it does. Sometimes we just need to let it go. Another thing, failure is success when you learn from it. There's not a part of my life, a part that of my relationally, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, and I always talk about the whole Lee family, all those Lees, that I haven't messed up and failed at. Sometimes you have to go through that journey down the road of failure. Sometimes you have to go through hell on earth to find and experience heaven on earth. So never let, oh, this is good. Never let success get to your head and never let failure get to your heart. Learn from the mistakes, brush yourself off, and the only way it's failure is if you never get back up. But we're designed to be strong enough to be able to keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Keep on doing. And also another one, it's never too late to become the person you're capable of being. I haven't become who I was able and capable of being until just a few years ago. And to be honest with you, if you love me, fantastic with who I am. If you don't love me, who I am right now, then I think it's time for you to move on in my circle of friends, which is pretty small. I am who I am, and I played the game for so many years, wearing a mask, trying to be somebody I wasn't, denying that I was going through abuse and pain and hurt all of my childhood, and pretending that everything was just fine and dandy. Yeah, I'm all right, I'm fine, when I really wasn't. Now, this is who I am, on the radio, when I'm speaking, when I'm at work at Baylor College of Medicine, right across the street here, and at home. This is exactly who I am. I don't change. So maybe we should take that as a lesson. The purpose of life is simply not to be happy, but to matter and make a difference, and to be productive, and to be useful, and to make some kind of impact on one person's life. And that's the reason that I got a blessing of one more day. is to make an impact on one person's life. The reason I'm getting in a plane at 3 o'clock in the morning, at least at the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning, and flying on the other side of the country, isn't just because I like to fly, because I don't. Not that I hate it, but I don't enjoy it, especially when I'm alone. I have too many germaphobe issues, but isn't to be able to say, oh, I'm going to one more place, whoop-de-doo, but to impact one more person, to be able to touch one more life. And it takes me going however many hundreds of miles it is up in Michigan, then I'll do that. And that's what it's all about. Another thing that I'm almost done, you got to have passion. It's essential. If you're trapped between your dreams and what other people think is right for you, always travel the road that makes you happy, unless you want everybody else to be happy except you. Be passionate about what you choose to do and do it better than anybody else can, and you will be successful. And then the last thing, and this one's tough, and I've been speaking to myself, the pain's worth it. The hours are worth it. You can't really begin to appreciate life until it's knocked you down a few times. You can't really begin to appreciate love until your heart has been broken. You can't really begin to appreciate happiness until you've gone through a little sadness in your life. You have to struggle up the mountainside so you can be able to appreciate that breathtaking view at the top of the hill, at the top of that mountain. Everyone in life is going to hurt you. You just have to figure out which people are worth the pain and then embrace them, hang on to them, and bring them into your life. If we're off step, if we're out of step, if we're out of sync and our cylinders just aren't working, it brings on anxiety. And that's why I think I'm so excited about our guest tonight. Quincy Caden is here tonight from Los Angeles, California area. And she is a senior in high school. So Thomas, go ahead and bring Quincy in so we can see her. They can stop looking at my mug and look at hers. Quincy, welcome to the program. I'm so glad you're here tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Dr. Williams.
So I tell you, this book that you wrote, Frankie's Fishy Feelings, which is a great book.
Thank you.
Came from possibly your own life journey. Is that true or not?
It is very true. I grew up with pretty bad anxiety for as long as I can remember. And I think as long as my parents can remember as well. Even in preschool, I didn't like going to play dates. And it's kind of just been this thing that's been with me.
Yeah.
As I've grown up. And I just realized at one point, and this was when I was 12 years old, that it wasn't something that I wanted to be controlling over me. I wanted to be the person in control. I didn't want this part of my brain to dictate what I did. So I talked to my parents, and thankfully they got me into therapy. And I learned my coping mechanisms, and I learned that yes, anxiety is there, but I can always control that. And if I learn those tools, I'm the person in the driver's seat. And, you know, it was really eye-opening for me because I was able to do all these things that I wasn't able to do before.
Yeah.
And then I was like, how do I share these skills and who needs these skills most? And I just thought when I was younger, when I was in kindergarten, I didn't know what I was feeling. And I think having a name for the feeling I was having would be really helpful and transformative for me. So I really wanted to reach those kids. So I decided to write my book, Frankie's Fishy Feelings.
There it is.
Which is about a 5-year-old tiger shark that is going into kinder sharking and has a bit of these fishy feelings, and she doesn't know what they are. And she has a panic attack. And so she talks to her mom. Her mom gets her into therapy. She learns what anxiety is and learns these coping skills, and then is able to go roller skating with her friends and go to music class and is able to live this quote unquote normal child life. And I kind of wrote my story, but through a fun way.
Quincy, when you're telling the audience tonight you had anxiety, was there a particular type of anxiety? Was it test stress? Was it big groups? Was it time schedules? Was it self-imposed stress? Because I do that a lot to myself. I try to be perfect and I know I'm not going to be, and I cause that own damage. What kind of anxiety, if you could put your thumb on it to help us explain, and when did you first notice it in your life of, hey, wait, my body's going through something right now and I don't understand, but this is what it's feeling like. When did all that take place and what was happening when it did?
Yeah, so I remember having like the feelings, and I was feeling different than other people, but I think I really started to realize it in third grade when all my friends were going to sleepovers and I felt like I couldn't, and I had separation anxiety. So I was afraid to be away from my parents and my older sister. So that kind of stopped me from doing overnight trips. The sleepovers, the play dates, the field trips, and it was just too hard for my mind to handle being away from them because I didn't know how to push myself in the right way. And I don't think I should have been expected to. Obviously, I was like 10 years old, but I think the unknown was really scary for me. And it still is. I've kind of ventured away from separation anxiety into more of a general state. But yeah, back then the big thing for me was separation anxiety.
Was there an event that didn't trigger that, but that caused that attention of being, oh, wait, mom and dad may not be there when I get back? Was there something that happened major, or is this just a gradual thing that started
Yeah.
entering into your mind?
I think it was really a gradual thing, and I've done some research on it just for the book, and just because I've been so curious about how that starts. And it's really common for kids. It's one of the number one anxiety disorders in kids that age. So I think it was kind of natural. And I think I have a bit of a like chemical imbalance just with anxiety, but therapy was transformative for me.
So when you were dropped off at school your first day, was that a scream, cry, yell, grab a
Oh,
hold? I remember the
very
first
much
day of
so.
kindergarten. If I'm lying, I'm dying. First day of kindergarten, I locked myself in the telephone booth inside the school cafeteria, and they had to take the door off to get me out because I did not want to go. And I never thought of that until this very moment, but it was. I screamed and yelled and cried. I didn't want to be away, even though I was being abused when I was at home. But there was still that, no, this is different, and different drives me crazy.
Yeah, I think all of those first days, those like unknown events were really hard for me. 'Cause even though I had an older sister who like tested out the waters for most things, I didn't know what I was doing. And I just knew that my parents were miles away. And I couldn't envision like a situation where I was taken apart from them. And so it was very much, I don't want to get out of the car. I don't want to leave my room. Stay, stay, that kind of thing.
Did your sister help you, and did she go to the same school as you did?
She did, but they were kind of separated a little bit. Like I wasn't able to see her. It was nice to know that she was still there. But I think the biggest connection was with my parents, specifically my dad. So there was a lot of that, and he was at work for a lot of the week, the day. And so I knew I wasn't going to be able to see him until like 8 p.m. So it was just hard to get dropped off and note that.
Now we're going to drill down into this a lot deeper later on, but what could have, from your point of view, a teacher that was welcoming you off the bus or when your mom and dad dropped you off or whatever it was to the school. What would have helped deal with that anxiety moment of, oh no, I may not see them again? What could have helped, and what did they do right? What did they do wrong?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that they did that really helped me was telling me that I could always talk to them and say, I need a moment outside, or can we talk outside for a bit? I'm getting a little anxious. Because having a space to talk, it feels lonely when you have anxiety. It's really isolating because you see all these kids playing together. Meanwhile, your heart is racing, your stomach hurts. And you're wondering, why am I not like other kids? And so having someone that you can talk to about it, that's an adult, is really helpful. And I've brought that. I've been a camp counselor these past couple of years, and I've made it sure to always tell these kids, you can talk to me. We can go talk to the side if you need to. So that
Okay,
I think
so
is.
if a parent or grandparent is listening tonight and they're thinking, okay, this sounds like my child, tell me some of the things that you just mentioned, your stomach hurt, things of that order.
Yeah.
What's some of the things that you were dealing with physically, that those symptoms were literal symptoms that would come up in you, and you knew, oh no, and then I'm
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's different for a lot of kids, I know that, but mine were my heart would race, my chest would hurt. I could feel it in my throat, in my chest, this pressure. My stomach would hurt. I would be like sweating, shaking a bit. And those were kind of the telltale signs that I was getting nervous and
yeah.
anxious.
Okay. All right. And to be able to, when you dealt with that, experience that, did it cause any issues with your friends? Did everybody kind of look at you and go, well, I remember them looking at me and go, what's Greg doing locking in the phone booth? But I mean, did it cause any type of shunning or pushing away, or did the kids all say, well, several go through that?
I think a lot of it, they just accepted it, but it was definitely hard to make friends because I wasn't able to go to the beginning of the year party or something like that, all those events and play dates that you form those relationships with, and that's where you meet people. And I just wasn't able to do that. I did have friends that understood and that were very compassionate, but it made it harder for sure because they were in school relationships and I wasn't really able to do that out of school part.
Right. So now we're going through kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, and you're still dealing with this. Did it
Yeah.
ever fade? Did it progressively snowball into more issues? What kind of student were you? Did it affect your grades?
I've always been a good student. I think that was a part of the anxiety. Like I always wanted to get those good grades. And I mean, that I guess is the good side of the anxiety and it helped me. But I think it was just, yeah, it was detaching me more and more as people would have these experiences out of school. So it was harder kind of as time went on. And I think that's how I came to realize that, oh, this is an issue and I need to get some help because I don't know how to deal with it myself.
Right. And when did mom and dad sit back and go, I think she needs to see a counselor. I think it's getting to be an issue enough that we need to get some help.
Yeah.
When you were 12?
I was around 12, yeah. And I think they knew at that point because I was different than other kids. You could tell, and I think anyone that knew me could tell. But I think they didn't want to push me to do something that I didn't want to, and I also don't think it was kind of the normal for them. Oh, I have an antisocial kid. Maybe that's what it is.
So
I don't know.
was you a loner? You
I
all
was
by yourself?
a little bit. I would always have like two to three friends that I would have. It wasn't like I was totally alone, but I think I was definitely a more isolated kid. And so I think that was maybe the reality of the situation. And then when I went to therapy, I think it was a tipping point for both of us, of my whole family, of, oh, we need to fix this before middle school. Like, this is something that's going to affect her for her whole life if she doesn't work on it.
So when you went to therapy, was that a good experience at first, or was it really bad? And it eventually got better when you realized, hey, wait, that person knows a little bit what they're talking about. Or did you have to try two or three therapists and counselors before you got the right one?
We were able to find one pretty quickly just because in Los Angeles there's a lot of good
Yeah.
health care and everything. But the type of therapy that I was doing for this anxiety was exposure therapy, which is basically exposing yourself to the things that scare you in small increments. So it wasn't like talk therapy, like what you see on TV. It was, here's a list of things I want you to do before the next session we have. I thought of it as like a trainer, like a personal trainer for like your head. And so I didn't love therapy because of that, because she was the doctor that was pushing me to do all this stuff. And obviously, I worked with her a couple summers ago at her selective mutism intensive camp, and where we've become great partners. But we didn't get along at first because she was always the person pushing me to do these things that I was really scared of.
Put me in the driver's seat of that. What did that look like? What's some of the things on the list that she said, hey, we're going to let you experience this and scare you a little bit, but give you some groundwork, foundational truth that you could build on?
Yeah, and this might sound silly because it seems like
No,
the
another one.
normal for a lot of kids, but for me it wasn't. It would be like, go to a friend's house for 30 minutes and you can get picked up after that. Or stay home with Campbell, my sister, for an hour while my parents go to dinner 4 blocks away. And it was all these kind of smaller steps that would lead up to, and the last big step was a sleepover. It was like a ladder. We drew it out together. And at the very top was a sleepover. And so that was also like a big looming threat. And so those were my steps, and it was slowly increasing. I mean, I think of it as like being like trapped in a situation, because that was like where my mind was at, but slowly increasing my time in certain situations to get myself used to it. And it worked. It worked really well.
And that abandonment anxiety, fear of it being abandoned, did you feel like you were in a self-created box that you couldn't get out of? And you didn't want to be in there, but it's kind of the place that life has put you in. And were these immediate steps up this ladder, did it? Were they all successful the first time through? You said, no, wait. I'm not sleeping over tonight. Let's try it next week.
There was definitely some of that, because I would get to a certain place and say, this is too much. I would freak out. It was kind of like the first day of kindergarten all over again. I would freak out. I would have a panic attack. I don't want to go. I want to stay in the car. I want to go home. There was definitely a lot of that, and it was a lot of effort personally. And I still remember that. I remember how much I needed to push myself to do these certain things. But I think that's just become a part of my life, because having anxiety is constantly pushing yourself out of it.
Oh.
And I still do that. I still need to push myself to do certain things. If I have a 5-day class trip, I still need to push myself because I'm scared of it. And I've learned to live with it. I know that anxiety is always going to be there. I can't get rid of it. It's part of me. It keeps me safe. But there's always that pushing yourself.
Wow. And I applaud you that you kept on pushing, because a lot of people would have shut down. We're going to find out on the other side of this break. We're getting ready for our bottom of the hour break. Quincy, when we come back, first of all, hold up your book while I'm telling you what I'm going to ask you. So I want everybody to get, during the break, go ahead and get on Amazon and order this. Frankie's Fishy Feelings by Quincy Caden, Kadin. It's right there. And it'd be an awesome Christmas gift. for children and grandchildren because it's beautifully done. But on the other side of this break, Quincy, going to find out a little bit more of what some of the things that worked for you, what some of the things that the therapist tried to tell you to do that didn't, and what was finally your successful journey through it. And we're going to talk about more of that on the other side of this. 888-627-6008. Feel free to call in if you have a comment or a question with Quincy, and we will be right back. Hang with us.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. We are talking with Quincy Caden, all the way from the beautiful city of Los Angeles, California area. We won't give you any more specifics than that, but she has written a book that I highly recommend. I want to know, Quincy, who did your drawings? Who did all the illustrative work on there? Because they're beautiful. They're cute. Was that all your idea? But who actually did the drawings themselves?
It is an amazing artist named Adamus Batista. He truly brought this book to life. I mean, I can show you some of these illustrations.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, he brought my exact vision to life. We worked on it for about four-ish months, and it was just amazing to me how he was able to see what I couldn't, like, put down on paper and bring that vision to life with all these fun colors. But yeah, he's amazing. If you have time,
a lot of children's
out
books
online.
Are cute, and they have little pictures and things, but yours brings in the whole emotional colors and really, really done well. I could see this being a book that mom and dad can be reading to their child at bedtime or school time because they're going to be wanting to see the picture on the next page.
I think a big part of the illustrations in the book that I wanted and he brought were kind of illustrating anxiety, how I felt it, the ripples in the water, how your whole life is disrupted. And so using those illustrations to kind of show how you feel on the inside was a big part of it.
And how did you come up with the title?
I liked the alliteration, but I felt fishy feelings was a good way to describe it because sometimes being nervous isn't anxiety. For me, it was, but sometimes you feel that. Most kids get nervous before going to school. And I didn't want to necessarily put it solely on anxiety, but so I thought fishy feelings was a great way to describe it. And Frankie's Fishy Feelings was a great name.
So you don't know a Frankie, you just came up with that name?
I just came up with that name.
That's great. And it's been out for how long, Quincy?
It's coming up on its 1 year anniversary on October 10th. So in 4 days, super exciting. Yeah.
Good, good. You know, I tell you, my book took off kind of slow at first, but it took a little bit of traction. And keep at it, keep doing it, because this is a book that a lot of parents need, a lot of schools need. I personally believe every school library ought to have this in it. Every community library ought to have this in it. And it just that type of book that everybody can say, hey, do you have any books on anxiety? But did you investigate What kind of books were out there? And was there any that you could read when you were going through it? Or is like, wait, I wish there was something that dealt with what I'm going through.
I mean, I did look before because I kind of wanted to see what stories everyone was telling and how they were illustrating and telling them. But if I think back to when I was younger, there, at least I didn't have anything like that. And so I really wanted it to be a resource that a lot of kids could have, just it an easy tool to teach you coping mechanisms that just isn't in your face. I wanted therapy to be accessible. And I do that at the back of the book. I have my Frankie's Toolbox of coping skills, and I have that on my website. So that was also a big part of me writing the book. I wanted kids to be able to access these coping mechanisms and be able to learn them.
Yeah, we're going to talk about those in the website. I want to give that out before we run out of time and they end up cutting us. But what is the website, Quincy, that would give them those resources of looking more information up about you? And then the I believe I printed off. I know I did. The actual, which I thought was great, because I love visuals. The toolbox, some of the things that you can actually go through. Coping strategies that are excellent that every child ought to have access to. So what's a good webpage?
It's frankiesfishyfeelings.com.
That's pretty simple.
Pretty simple.
Yeah. So we've talked about your personal journey. How are you now? How's things going as a senior in high school? Life's getting ready to maybe hand you college, possibly, or I don't know what your future holds. Do you still have setbacks? Do you still have days of anxiety? And how you doing?
I do. And I think that a couple years ago, I had this realization of I've never getting rid of anxiety. So I need to learn how to live with it. And it's a stressful time. First semester of senior year is when you're doing all your college applications and you need your all A's. And so there's a lot of pressure. And
Yeah.
so I think that definitely heightens anxiety for a lot of people. And so I've had some hard days. Sorry, my dog's in the background,
That's
but
fine.
it's there, it's there, and I think I'm still in control, though. I've learned these skills for me to be in the driving seat of it.
And that's important because I don't think you ever get over, at least I know I will never get over my issues. It was too impactful on me, but I learned how to deal with it better as life goes on. So each day I think I get better. Now, if I was at your home right now, the anxiety that I would have is Colonel Sanders standing behind me with a cane raised up. That would totally throw me for
He's
a
a little scary when you're walking around at night. It's this
loop.
shadowy figure looming in the
That's great.
background.
So tell me, when you came up with, hey, I want to write a book, and then you wanted to do the toolbox, was those things that you learned in therapy? Hey, you need to try these, and some worked, some didn't, and you put in the ones that really were effective for you? Or how did you pick and choose?
Yeah, so I'd say a chunk of them are the things that personally worked for me. The bubble breathing, I think breathing exercises were a big help to me. But I also worked with Dr. Lindsay Bergman from UCLA
Whoa.
to kind of get that therapeutical aspect of it because I don't have that experience because I wanted things that, come from a doctor and a therapist and a psychiatrist that know those skills. So it's a mix of both because I know that I'm only like I had to try out a lot of coping mechanisms to figure out which ones worked. So I
You
wanted to
get a
offer.
couple examples of a tool or two that's in the toolbox that you describe.
Yeah. So bubble breathing,
Okay,
which
what is
was,
bubble breathing?
yeah, it's imagining that you're blowing. I wrote five in the book. So imagine that you're blowing bubbles in the air. And so it kind of brings you back, it centers you, and you're able to do these breathing exercises. So it's just imagining you're blowing five big bubbles in a row. And that's one. And then another is feeling your feet in your shoes. in that case, flippers in it, Frankie shoes. But yeah, just kind of feeling your feet on the ground and in your shoes and the texture of your shoe and all of that. I think a lot of anxiety is feeling like you're out of control and you don't have control of your body. So all these grounding exercises are able to bring you back to your present and
Do you
back
feel
in.
like these are brain manipulations that causes your brain to, manipulation probably wasn't the right word, but brain tricks to bring everything back in order, to think about something else instead of the anxiety? So for instance, when I breathe, that, the five in, five out through your nose and mouth, and it just calms me down. And my brain's going, okay, wait, he's in control now.
Yeah.
5 minutes ago, I wasn't. Is it those kind of things that help you control that anxiety?
I think so, yeah, because you're like anxiety is just your mind wandering out of control and you don't really know what to do. And when you're able to say, oh, wait, I know how to breathe on my own, I know how to feel my feet. You take that back. And so I think it is a bit of a brain trick. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the counting on your fingers. Show me
Oh,
how
the
you.
counting on your fingers. Another one of those, just I can do this. Like, let me bring myself back. It's just one, two, three, four, five. Like you can just go through that and count your fingers. Just simple things that any kid can do, just easy to learn.
I had Lisa Jabik. She was the oldest daughter of Robin Williams and Sally
Oh
Field
my
in
goodness.
Mrs. Doubtfire. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie or not, but she's the oldest daughter in the movie, and she has huge anxiety issues. And she was on the program a couple times, and she taught me that was, she said, Greg, this really works, you ought to try it. This too shall pass. And she said, just keep doing that three or four times, and you'll be amazed how you start focusing on this. And it does shift and bring a calming effect. And I thought, wow, something as simple as that. But kids need some type of tool, because are you taught this in school? I mean, between a division and addition and social studies and science, are you taught how to deal with pressure?
So that's also a big part of my book. I wanted to bring it to schools. So I donated a couple hundred books to schools across California because I think just
Wow.
having that, like to your point, having your book in a library, just being able to tell that story and letting kids have access to those stories change everything. Telling those stories change everything because people can feel that they can share their story now. So I think having these types of resources in schools is really amazing.
I think we're being heard around the world tonight, and I want to just announce every library, every Barnes and Noble that has a time of reading for kids, this would be such an awesome group reading program where you have an adult reading this book, showing how to do this and read through that from cover to cover. It would be phenomenal because kids need something, and it's so needed, but it's not complicated. We try to overcomplicate this. Did you get any kind of assistance? And I don't want to downgrade teachers by any means, because they do a wonderful job with what the chore they have to do. But was there any help that you got from your teachers?
I just don't, at least in my schools and the schools I've been to, there wasn't really counseling until high school. It just
Yeah.
wasn't talked about. There was health class in fifth grade where basic stuff, there was just nothing about mental health, or it was all physical health, which clearly is important, but I think mental health is physical health. And so having those resources at schools at a younger age is so important.
Okay, now California is one of the most progressive states, at least that's what they tell us they are, in the country. What kind of mental health resources do they have available right now for your age, for a 12-year-old, for an 8-year-old? Are there any resources that they can go in and say, "Hey, I'm hurting. I'm stressed out."
Yeah, I think a lot of schools now have like school counselors, which either help you with your classes. It's like you have your subset of students that you kind of talk to, or just school counselors that are fully there for you to talk about your day, or in this is what's going on. I'm having a really hard day. Something happened that you can go in. But I mean, there's a lot of online resources. Once again, like I kind of put those together on my website because not all schools have that. It's such
Tell
a
me,
privilege.
I always ask every guest this question, so I apologize, but I really don't because it's important to me in my life. Journaling, is that part of your world or is that something you never got into?
I tried it.
And it
I
didn't work?
really tried it. I couldn't get into it.
Okay.
I understand how it would work, why it would work. I just don't know if it worked for me. I think with my anxiety, I didn't want to dwell on the past a lot. I kind of wanted to keep moving forward. But I did try it a couple times throughout kind of managing that anxiety.
I love it. It helps me, but I mean to this day, but some people it, it's not one of those cure-alls for everybody. It's a certain only certain people. When you have these healthy habits in your life, what's some of the benefits that you've now experienced because you've dealt with this? And you've kind of got a you're back in the driver's seat.
I think my biggest thing that helps me just kind of have my safe space is cleaning my room, which I know a lot of teenagers would not agree with because many don't like to do that at all. But having just kind of a clean place that I can go back to after a hard day really helps me manage my stress, just because I know that there's always something there. And also having a network of friends that I can talk to, just having that community where I know maybe my parents aren't available right now, but here is someone that I can talk to about it. So I think these all have helped me kind of have these habits have helped me take control and kind of get through these tough times, these stressful times without kind of snowballing back into my old habits of anxiety.
Have you received or feeling any compulsive behaviors, any type of OCD, or did you have to battle any of that?
When I was in elementary school, a little bit, but I think a lot of that can stem from like a pre-existing anxiety disorder. So I had a little bit of OCD. I don't think it was super severe because it went away on its own after it was mostly just my challenge has been anxiety, but there was definitely a little bit of that in my life.
And I got to ask this one. You got another book in you?
I do. I think I do. Right now I'm focused on college stuff, but this past summer I've been working on creating a song for the book.
Oh.
Just another kind of like art medium that it can be used for and another easily accessible resource. So that probably in the next year, that's been the project right now, but I'm hoping to do another book.
That's great. From if, because I know we have a lot of teachers, because I do a lot of trainings around the country for teachers. If they're listening tonight, what kind of from, hey, here's an inside senior student's view from her point of view, what should they do differently that would help people that have anxiety issues that maybe they're unaware of because of their busy schedule. What would you recommend if you could talk to them right now and say, hey, try this?
I mean, I would just go back to what I said earlier, just making it clear that they are someone that the student can talk to and that they are always there if needed. And maybe you need to step outside for 2 minutes because you're getting overwhelmed. Just having your classroom be that safe place is super important because you're in school for most of the week. It's where you spend most of your time, and having that be somewhere where you can feel comfortable is super impactful.
One of the things that I speak on a lot, I have about a 15-minute spiel on it every time I talk to a teachers group, is, most people that deal with anxiety or have dealt with trauma in their life hate surprises. They
Yeah.
want control and borders. What's your opinion on that? If a teacher walks in and go, "Hey, surprise, we're doing everything different today," does that cause an automatic uptick in your blood pressure and your heart rate when it's not the norm?
Yeah, it's funny. I haven't thought about that in a little while. Very much so. Yeah, growing up, I hated surprises. I always wanted to know what was going on. I always wanted to, not necessarily consistency, but I wanted to know what was going on that day and kind of have that. I know what's happening. I personally am not a fan of surprises. I think a surprise pizza party is different than a surprise pop quiz. But yeah, personally, not a big fan. I'm with
Yeah.
you on that.
Yeah, I do too. Tell me about how supportive, and we only got about a minute left, how supportive your mom and dad have been on this journey with you, and then on helping you put this book together, and they right there cheering you on, or has it been some
Yeah.
challenges? Tell me about it.
No, I think they're some of my biggest supporters, which I'm so thankful for. They've been with me along the whole way through my anxiety journey. And I know that a lot of people don't have that. And so I'm just so grateful that I have them kind of helping me take these steps for myself. And yeah, no, they've been great. My dad is an artist, so he helped me kind of think about how I wanted to do the book, and he was also super helpful.
That's great. Hold the book up one more time before we
Oh,
go.
yeah.
And that is also
Yeah.
frankiesfishyfeelings.com. Get on that webpage tonight. And but personally, I'd love to see this book go to number one on Amazon within the next couple hours. And folks, you can do it. Buy this book. Buy several. Buy for your school. If you don't even have any kids in your life, buy for your community library, and then pass it on. Hey, I heard a great author, because this is something that every child ought to have access to, and at least been read about. Read this book to him at least once or twice a year, probably. But this would be a good bedtime book too.
Yeah,
Chris,
thank
you
you.
got anything before we go?
I think we covered a lot, but
Oh,
yeah, just be there
you
for
did
your.
awesome. I hope you wasn't nervous. You did great.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And when you if you ever want to come back, let us know. If you ever make a Frankie plush toy, let me know. I
Yes.
gotta have one of those too, because I think that would be awesome to go with the book for Christmas,
That'd be great.
something like that for birthdays. But if when you're thinking about your second book, let me know, and I'd love to have you back on.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Quincy, for being with us.
Have a great night.
You too. God bless. As we do each and every week, and I think Quincy was a perfect example. Sometimes life just hands you stuff. It's called life. And it's not because of anything that anybody necessarily did wrong. At least she didn't admit to that or share that tonight. If it is, that's her own personal story. But it just sometimes hard to handle. Things happen, and you need to be able to have somebody, someone, something that you can lean into to be able to get that encouragement, that hug, that, hey, it's going to be okay, speech. And this book is exactly what our kids need today, because let's be honest, folks, this world is so stressful. It's not the same world that I grew up in the country of Southern Illinois. It is not. It's completely different. And if you don't think the kids are overwhelmed with this, overwhelmed with wars that's happening around, hurricanes that's hitting our country, all the politics and all of that stuff, and I don't want to go into any of that because it's going to get me all wrapped up and amped up, but the kids experience that anxiety too. Frankie's Fishy Fields will help them through that because it has a toolbox of things that the kids can do, especially younger children. So thank you so much, Quincy, for being here. Join us right here for another edition live from Houston, Texas. And as I fly across this country this week, think about me and I'll be thinking about you. And if you need something, 832-396-6525, text me and I will promise to text you right back. God bless. See you next week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.